All right. Look at all those Jesus Saves shirts back there. That's great. Everybody got their free shirt. There's still some more over there, by the way. Not very many. Announcements. Let's see. Still time to vote. Cast your vote now. They keep showing up. just got to get Biden just enough, and then we'll call it. Then we'll call it quits. This thing will drag out, man. I'm going to go to court and everything else. What a mess. Most of y'all remember the 2000 election. That one drug out into mid-December. That thing, the hanging chads and all that kind of stuff. Florida. Golly. I'd say the biggest losers in all this is just the American people, because the process has been completely destroyed now. It's been completely destroyed. And my prayer in all this is the people that created the devices to destroy the process would go back on them like Haman, you know, where he creates the gallows and gets hung by them. But I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on in this country. Obviously, y'all don't need another news report. Y'all have heard enough. It's done. Psalm 46 is where we're at this evening. Tomorrow we got public ministry, 10:30 in the morning in Kennedy. And we'll see if there's some of y'all that are interested at 6 tomorrow evening. We may do something in the evening too. Yeah, that's true. Just saying, don't do it. That's all I'm saying. So with everything going on, and we're going to move away from Colossians this evening, obviously, go to Psalms, and the couple songs we sang a while ago, about God as a refuge and shelter in the time of storm and things like that. That's the subject of the song. And really, it's always appropriate, but it's probably feels more appropriate now with all the stuff going on about having your trust in the Lord and Lord being a refuge. And so the backdrop to what you're about to read is David on the run, hiding in a cave, and this is what he writes while he is running for his life and hiding from Saul in a cave. Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." That's good to know. "Therefore will not we fear." So God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. So because verse 1 is true, "therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof," Selah, "there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her," and that right early. "The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Notice that God, the God of Jacob is our refuge. He says it in verse 7. God is our refuge in verse 1. He'll say it one more time at the end of the psalm. "Come behold," verse 8, "come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge," Selah. Let's pray, and we will talk about the God of Jacob being our refuge. Father, Lord, this is not just a not just words on a paper, but we have seen, we see it now, today. We knew it. We know we can't trust men and put trust in man and put confidence in man, but Lord, that's even more pertinent in our lives at this point in time in this country. But Father, you oversee all countries. There's stuff going on in other countries that's much worse than here. And Lord, I pray that you would help us with this psalm particularly, and help us find refuge in you. Find some peace. And we know we're not going to get it in the world. We know we're not going to get it. We're going to get some temporary relief with some good news about election or something like that. But ultimately, we need you as a refuge. And I pray you'd help us in this psalm this evening. Thank you for everybody that's out this evening. I pray you bless each soul that's here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 46, just a word about, I don't know if your Bible has the little titles in it. It says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. Alamoth, that's like a plural form of Alma, like a virgin. And I think it's directed towards, this is the choir that's supposed to sing. Like, this is the type of people. It's like for young ladies' voices or something like that. But you'll see some of these types of notation, and it describes the type of music it would be set to, if it's a chorus, if it's something supposed to play on a stringed instrument, something like that. And so that's just, you know, take that for what it is there. But David writes this psalm. The context, like I said, David writes this psalm while he's hiding in a cave and running for his life from Saul. And I imagine he looks at his surroundings in this cave and thinks about the cave itself and about the description of God and some of the similarities that he's hiding in this cave. And the Lord is a refuge, and the Lord shelters us, and the Lord takes care of him. And so he sees some similarities as he's in this cave. And you'll notice, really, in this psalm, you've got three distinct breaks here. Verses 1 through 3 is one break, and it's a refuge where the storm has no power. Verses 4 through 7 is another break, and it describes the joy that's found in that refuge. And then verses 8 through 11, the refuge is just, it's describing where you wait something out. You wait for maybe the storm to pass by, or sometimes it's just, I think in Christian life, it's not about what's the next step to take. It's more about taking refuge than taking steps, you know. You don't necessarily have a place to go or a direction to move in. You're just waiting for something to pass so that you can start doing something. But we'll get to that in a second. But let's deal with these three stanzas, so to speak. The first thing I want you to notice is in verses 1 through 3. The refuge, it's defined really as, it's a place where the storm just has no power. You can hear the storm. You can be scared by the noise of the storm, but ultimately the power of the storm is it has no power. Here's verses 1 through 3. Let's read them again. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I love the way that's said. It's not just that God is a help in trouble. It's that he's also a present help in trouble. He's there in the trouble. And not only is he a present help in the trouble, but he's a very present help. And he's immediate. He's right there available in the midst of the trouble. I think about Daniel in the lion's den and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire and all that kind of stuff. He's a very present help in trouble, which means, though, unfortunately, there's trouble. So it just means there's trouble. Doesn't mean he takes away the trouble. He's just a present help in the trouble. And so here's David. He's in trouble, but the Lord is with him, and he knows the Lord's with him. And so here's the description, verse 2. Therefore, because God is this thing, because he's a refuge and strength, because he's a very present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. That's a pretty good description of what Paul said. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. So because God is a refuge and he's a strength and he's a very present help in trouble, therefore I'm not going to be afraid. I don't have a reason to be afraid of the storm that I'm in. I don't have a reason to be afraid of the trouble that's around because God is a very present help in the trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth... Now here's a description of all the horrible things going on, or could be going on in the storm. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea... Boy, if you saw that stuff going on, that's pretty scary. that is a sight. I imagine that would be terrifying. But he says that though this happens, though the earth is removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. So though all of this stuff happens, the sound of it, you can hear the sound of it, you can see the effects of it, you can see the mountains being blown into the water, you can hear the waters roaring, you can see the earth moving and feel the earth moving. But in all of that, the fact is, in the refuge, none of that stuff has any real effect on the person in the refuge. You can hear it, maybe. You can feel the shaking of it, maybe, but ultimately it doesn't have any negative effects on the person. I'll think of a refuge like I'm gonna tell on Sam here in just a second here. So when Sam was just a wee child, just a little child, still, I know, I knew you'd say that. when he was very small. So when it would rain outside and thunder, he would hide. And so he would build his little pillow forts, and he would sometimes come in the room and just try to get away from the noise. But the point is, he could hear the storm. You hear the noise, and all that stuff was scary, but it wasn't going to affect him in any way because he's in the house. That's the same way what David is saying. Look, though the earth shake, though the waters just roar, and though the wind just blows the mountains into the ocean, I mean, what a terrifying set of events there. But all that stuff happens, and I'm inside of a refuge. I can hear the wind blowing. I can see the storm. I mean, you can turn on the news and see the storm. You can whether it's a political storm or whatever, you can hear and you can see all the effects of it. But in the refuge and in Jesus Christ the Rock, this stuff ultimately, it just doesn't have the effect on people who are in the refuge. And what I mean by that is Jesus Christ is a shepherd of your soul. And this body may be destroyed, but your soul, if you're in Jesus Christ, it's not going anywhere. It is taken care of. And that's the most important, that's you. That's who you are. So in the refuge number one is where the storm has no power. It may have sound, it may be violent outside, but ultimately it just has no power on the person in the refuge. So David's sitting in that cave, and maybe he sees the storm go by, but he's hiding from Saul. He's hiding from not just a weather storm, but he's hiding from a personal storm with people. And back in that cave and just thinking about the cave and thinking about, you know, God's a lot like this cave. He's just a refuge. It just provides shelter from all the elements. I mean, I can hear what's going on outside, but I'm just not touched by all the elements in a way that people who are in the storm without a shelter are touched by it. So the refuge, number one, is where the storm just has no power. There's another psalm. I was thinking about doing a different one this evening, but he talks about the lead me to the rock that's higher than I. You know, you get up to a place where you have a different perspective. You see things a little bit different. I think about that with the Lord. I mean, we are under certain influences, and we're under, you know, being on this earth and just living under authority and living under government and all that kind of stuff. And we are under all these things, but the Lord's above all that. He's not in it like we are. It doesn't have the same effect on him that it has on all of us. And he's the one that, I mean, you want to get somewhere where there's no fear or no dread of all the storm that's going on, get in the Lord. He's a refuge. He's a rock that's higher than I am. But David says it this way: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice he says he's a very present help in trouble, which I need to make a comment on that. Just because he's a very present help in trouble doesn't mean he's your very present help in trouble. I go back to some of these illustrations because they're just so real, and I guess, I don't know, visceral, I guess, is the word. It's just so feeling, in funerals and things like that, where people are very, very disturbed and hurt, and there's a lot of pain there, and you try to minister to folks in that situation and try to be a help to them. But ultimately, and I know I've said it to y'all and y'all understand it, ultimately they don't have any hope in Jesus Christ. There's no way to give them hope. And if they do have hope in Jesus Christ, you just point them in the direction. Look, it's Jesus Christ. You're going to go through the grief. We're going to go through the grief, and that's going to happen. That's a part of it. But there's hope in all that. And so just because God is a refuge and a very present help in trouble doesn't mean he's your refuge or your very present help in trouble. It's got to be personal. You've got to get in the cave. The cave is there. The shelter is there. You just got to get into it. So number one, refuge is where the storm, it has no power there. Number two, refuge is where joy is found. Look in verse 4. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The first part of that, he talks about the rivers, the streams shall make glad the city of God. There's joy. There's joy to be found in the refuge. The refuge is where provision is made. You read about that in the verse 4 there. The refuge is where you find what you need. There's stability. And notice this contrast. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Now look in verse 6. The heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. See that? So in the refuge there wasn't any move, there was stability in the refuge. But outside the refuge in the kingdoms were just shaken And there was movement, and it was a volatile situation, and there wasn't any stability. There wasn't any platform to rest your feet on. It was just movement and like a fluid kind of a situation there. But in the refuge, there's no movement. There's stability. There's provision. There's joy. All of those things make for a joyful time in the midst of a storm. Remember, I'll read this one to you. You're familiar with it, but Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I'll read it to you. Jesus Christ said this. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore," now this is how he likens this person. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." There it is. There's the stability. There's the refuge. There's the sure foundation. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." This is a simple illustration of a good foundation versus a bad foundation. That's what you're reading about in Psalm 46. He says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. In contrast, though, the heathen raged, and they were moved. They were shaken up by what was going on. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The refuge, though, is where joy is found. It is where provision and hope and stability and all of those things. I mean, you this day, I don't know what your diet of news is or diet of non-news. I don't know where you're at. If you're on the internet keeping up with everything or not keeping up with anything because you're so tired of everything, I don't know. But one thing is for sure. I mean, if you've lived your life according to the press or what man says about what's going on, you will be all over the place. Your spirit, your emotions, you will be all over the place. No stability whatsoever. But you put your mind on the refuge. Think about what God said. Think about Jesus Christ. Think about, look, we're a church. We got certain responsibilities. We got a mission, things like that. Man, that just stabilizes and it just kind of makes all the noise just kind of go away. It's like we got a mission here. We got a job here. The Lord called us out as a church. He called us out as Christians to be lights and to be ministers, to be ambassadors and all those kinds of things. And all this other noise, I mean, it's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of voices out there. And I mean, you could say to listen to this one, and he'll be right one time, and he'll be wrong the next time. I mean, you, who knows? But Jesus Christ, the words of God, they're always right, always good. Refuge is where joy is found. It's where stability is. And then lastly is this. So you got refuge is where the storm has no power. The refuge is where joy can be found. And then verse 8, the refuge is where you wait. That's what David was doing. He's just sitting in the cave, and he's waiting for the storm to pass over, waiting for Saul to pass over, waiting for biding his time, so to speak. But he's just waiting. He can't do anything else. He's just waiting. Look in verse 8. It says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth." So here's how you get into the refuge. You consider what God's done now. Now you look back and you consider what God's done. "Behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And then the verse you and I are so familiar with, I'm sure. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I love verse 10. You probably do too. Be still and know that I am God. So here's David in the cave. He can't do anything. And he can't go out and fight Saul right now. There's nothing really to do other than just wait it out. Just wait for the storm to be over. There's no particular steps to take. You just sit in the refuge and you wait for things to pass over. And then instead of it's not always, and it's not that I hate to say this, but it's a reality. There's not always what's the next thing to do in Christianity. It's not what's the next step to take. It's maybe just time to take refuge. It's time to get in Jesus Christ. It's time to get in the words of God. It's time to fill your mind with the right things. It's time to just take refuge in the words of God. It's time to take refuge in what God said to do. Sometimes it's not about taking steps, but just taking refuge. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes it's about trusting God with your time. That's taking refuge in the Lord. You may not think of it that way, but it is. You trust God with your time, that's taking refuge in the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do with my time? I got ideas about what I want to do with my time, but I'm going to take refuge in you. You tell me what I need to do with my time. Or, you'll love this one. What do I need to do with my money? Lord, I got ideas. I got things I want to buy, but maybe there's a missionary I want to help. Maybe there's some needs out there that are a little bit bigger than my wants. Lord, I'm going to take refuge in your counsel. You tell me what you want me to do with this. Or maybe it's friendships, maybe it's relationships, but you get the idea. I'm going to trust the Lord and what he said about this. And in so doing, I'm going to take refuge in him and let him be the shelter of my time, of my friendships, of my relationships. I'm going to let him take care of this. So be still and know. That's how you take refuge. So the Lord says, here's the refuge is just where you sometimes wait this thing out. Just like David is. He can't do anything. There's no real steps to take. There's no battle to fight right now. He's just hiding. He's just waiting for this thing to pass over. And sometimes that's what it is. I remember when Harvey came. Y'all remember, I know you got to remember Harvey. That was just a couple years ago. But Harvey came and we're in the house, and you can hear. I mean, the wind, I think, was blowing, I don't know, over 100 miles an hour for like 6 or 8 hours. It was just beating down on the trees and the houses and all that kind of stuff. We could hear part of the roof just, bah, 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 bah. It was just getting beat up. And we're in the house and we're just thinking, I mean, there's nothing to really do. You just have to wait till this thing's over, and then you walk outside and then you assess the damage. You just see what happened with all this. And so that's kind of the idea here with the refuge. You wait because it's just a place to wait. And then once you wait, once the thing's passed over, maybe there'll be some steps to take after that. But the refuge is just like the Lord says to David, or David says here, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That's the third time he said that. God is our refuge. God is our refuge in verse 1. God is our refuge in verse 7. God's our refuge in verse 11. And so that's the encouragement tonight. That's the thought this evening. Let the Lord be your refuge. I mean, I know sometimes some of the commentators and news and all that, you let them be your refuge and then you kind of get frustrated. Anyway, let the Lord be your refuge. Let the Lord be your refuge. He's the best refuge. The refuge is where the storm has no power. It may sound big outside, but it has no power. Ultimately, it has no power when you're in the refuge. The refuge is where joy can be found, and the refuge is a place where you just wait. Just wait. I don't have to do anything. I wish people could see sometimes church like that as a refuge where you understand, look, some guys come in and, you know, I want to serve God. You don't get that very often, but sometimes you do. Or they want something to happen with their family, or they want something to happen with their kids or whatever, and it's like, just be here, get some preaching, get some Bible, learn some Bible, and just make this a refuge for a while, and get what you need from the Lord, and then you'll be able to deal with whatever the storm is after it maybe passes over. But just slow down, just be still, know I am God, and I hate to say it, but relax a little. Just you know, get what you need from God. Just wait it out. And refuge is where you wait. It's just where you wait. There's not necessarily something to do there. It takes a little bit of patience. It may take a little bit of time. But David says, the God of Jacob, he is our refuge. He is our refuge. You know, he's David's refuge, but make it personal. Just because God is a refuge doesn't mean he's your refuge. And somebody watching doesn't mean he's your refuge. Make him your refuge. He's willing to be a personal refuge, but that's got to be personal. That's something you've got to enter into the cave. You got to get in there and hide out in there. So there you go. The God of Jacob, he's our refuge. Let's pray, and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. There's a lot going on in our country. I pray that the devices that have been put in place to mess with the voting and all that kind of stuff would turn back on the folks that have put them in place. I pray we'd have an honest election and what's going on right now. Ultimately, Lord, you allow things to go on, and Father, I pray that you'd help our nation. We have been crippled in so many ways, and our society has been crippled, and churches have been crippled, and it's definitely been a pruning process and a reorganizing process. But the same things that can cause bitterness cause growth. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us grow in all this. Pray that you would be our refuge. And anybody watching doesn't know Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that they deal with their sin and make Jesus Christ their refuge. Father, thank you so much for salvation. Thank you so much for your words, for a true voice among so many false voices out there. But the truth, you can just open the Bible and get the truth. Thank you for that. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.